on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I don't even know what I did before I started this show. My life is so changed. We've been doing this show. Somebody out there could do the math for me. I think January 25th, 2000 and, what year is this? 19, 18, 17, 16. January 25th, 2016, I believe, was the first broadcast. It was me and Mike Heath and Pete LaBarbera. We did the first show from my former home in my old office. It looked so chunky And Jody says, yes, January 2016. Thanks, Jody. And I'm going to tell you something. My life has been radically transformed by this show, my own show. Isn't that something? It is amazing. It's just amazing. And I think the thing that's really transformed my life more than anything was the fact that it forced me, when I do my show prep in the morning, it forces me to go deeper than I'd ever gone. You know, I was one of those guys. We have Operation Save America. I'll see if I can find it here in my Bible. Operation Save America puts out every year what they call a Bible reading schedule. And it's good because I don't know if I can find it. If you take the Bible reading schedule and you read through it, you will read through the entire Bible in 365 days, a whole year, a schedule. Some days it breaks it up. Read some of the Old Testament, you read some of the New Testament every morning, and boom. And you know what happens when you begin to do something like that? It just becomes rote. It just becomes, you just do it. Let's read a psalm today, sweetie. And so we sit down, we'd read a psalm, and I'd read over stuff, and it would, I wouldn't even read it. I mean, I'd just read it. It didn't enter in, didn't get too deep in me. When I started to do the show, and I began to really have to do a little bit more deep research on certain topics that would come up and things that had always really troubled me and things that troubled me even more and more as I began to dig into the Word, it has radically transformed my life. Now, we all fight this, folks. We all fight this idea that I hear people say, did you hear what Rush Limbaugh said? Did you hear what Hannity said? Did you hear what I don't ever want it to be, did you hear what Coach said? Because I don't care what Hannity says. I don't care what Limbaugh says. I'm after truth. I'm seeking truth. And I just appreciate all of you joining us in here every day. And I bet if we went down and I opened up the mic, in fact, I'm going to do that here in a minute, right? I'm going to do that here in a minute. Testimony how your life has changed, not because of me, but because of what goes on here. Some of you, I look down through these names, there's 37 people in here. It's going to climb to 50. It may climb over that. And you know what? I come in here every day, and it looks like the same faces. What would make Gail come in here every morning? Jeff and Jody and John and Alan and Blue Sky. And some people just have phone numbers up there. Every morning, you're here. Some of you never pipe in. But you're part of this family, part of this huddle, part of this whatever this thing is that we're gathering together here. And I'm overwhelmed by many of you know, some of you don't know, that we were able to, my wife and I were able to purchase the property that sits right next to us here. I don't want to say too much because of the, I don't want the enemy to know more than they need to know. But, I had Craig and a young guy named Tom. He came from Shell Knob, Missouri yesterday. We're up there pulling carpet up and doing all that kind of stuff. And I just overwhelmed by the number of people who want to be involved, want to volunteer and want to help. You know, sadly, that's kind of the way it's supposed to operate, isn't it? That's the way it's supposed to be. Think about the Amish. They had barn raising ceremonies. Remember? The whole neighborhood come over and help a guy build a barn. And I'm just overwhelmed. So I want to thank all of you. And let's stop right there a second. I heard you, Lord. Somebody want to testify about what's happened here on this show before we dive into it? I'm going to open it up. Because, you know, I heard Craig told me, one of his sons told me, you better stop listening to that guy. Since you start listening to that guy, you better stop that. Any of you having any kind of experiences like this? Come on in. I feel like I'm alone here this morning. I know I'm not.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I just got to say I've learned more in the last 3 years I've been listening to your show than I learned in 50 years in church. So.
Amen. And Rob, not just for me, the dialogue, man, the dialogue, right?
Yeah, it's all the guys. It's the whole group.
It's the
whole group.
Amen. Strengthened you, deepened you in your faith. I know it has. Somebody else, come on in.
I have to agree, Coach. What I've learned here has just been amazing. And it gives me a reason to live and to grow, to know Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And Serge, if you're like me, you got a whole new set of friends. Right? Got a whole new set of friends.
Definitely. Definitely.
I said that to my wife the other night. You know, we don't socialize a lot. Michelle and I don't. I'm just not a social butterfly. And she's more than me. But man, oh man, oh man. The people that I know in this queue right now, and some not in this queue, that I would call and come and help me is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Anybody else?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You give us a very good teaching. You show us how to become bolder in our evangelizing life. You know, you give us the tools so that then, like you say, you can't teach what you don't know, but right. We do know because we see you. So you lead by example. Thank you.
Righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. And I'm not about overthrowing the church or causing rebellion or anything like that. I'm just trying to guide us in all truth. We do know this, don't we, fellas? Whatever church has been in the past, it doesn't work anymore. It isn't working anymore. And those of us who carry that name above all names, we have a responsibility. If we see something that's not right, we have a responsibility to speak up. If the righteous don't speak up, who will? And Flip Benham taught me a long time ago, it was a great line. He says, sometimes God's love hurts. That's a line, isn't it? Sometimes God's love hurts.
Hey, Coach.
And we don't, we don't purposely hurt people, but sometimes the truth penetrates and it stings. Go ahead, Vic.
We go to the crime scene and we're witnessing the murder of hundreds, thousands, millions of children.
The murder of America, that's going on right in front of us.
And then also we're watching the mind control by all these drag queens, all these faggots trying to change and pervert the innocence of our children.
Mm-hmm. And Vic, they won't let a guy like me even on Facebook, right? I want to talk about some of this morning. If we can't see it, man, if we can't see it. So I just pray that, I guess in closing on this 8-minute opening is, I just pray that, that you've been taught to think on your own, and that you have some confidence in what you believe, and that you don't believe something just because somebody said it, and you don't believe something just because you've always believed it, that this is a journey and a guide to all truth, to dig deep into truth. So I just, bottom of my heart, man, appreciate all of you. Thanks. Those of you going to help me get that place cleaned up. It's just, some of you will see. We pulled up all that carpet. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Me and Vic and Tommy, we pulled up some carpet out of those rooms. Oh my goodness, that place is coming alive. Praise the Lord. I have to touch in the fact that Joe Hagman died the other night. I know most of you know that. Maybe some of you don't know it. Or didn't know it. And maybe you didn't even know Joe or know the Hagman report. I knew Joe. I knew Doug. No Doug. And I guess I feel worse today about the fact that I didn't do more to intervene. You know, sometimes it's so hard for us to get involved in somebody else's life when we see a problem develop because we think we're, you know, we think we're invading their privacy or sticking our nose in where it doesn't belong. I knew when Joe Hagman left the Hagman Report, actually Doug had removed him from the Hagman Report, that Joe was getting into some stuff that he had a history of before and getting back into some lifestyle habits. And I wondered today if I shouldn't have done more, if I shouldn't have tried to intervene. I often be careful what I say here. And then I thought, I watched, to me, is one of the most amazing things I've ever watched in my life. And I'm going to show you a brief clip from last night. And Doug Hagman goes before his worldwide audience and tells them what happened to his son. And I texted Doug Hagman last night, and I said this. Let's see if I can find him here. Hang with me a second. And this is not private. This is what I said to Doug Hagman. I said, I can't even explain how much respect I have for you. And I think I said, I can't even explain it. The way that he handled that thing last night and the cackles of those who hate him and all those. But Doug did a unique broadcast yesterday in that he had Russ Dizdar on with him. And I was reminded again as I listened to Russ and those guys, and Doug did that show last night, how little we understand of the demonic world. How little we really get it. How a guy like Joe Hagman could get drugged down that pit. Folks, it's supernatural, see? Supernatural. And it's something that can happen to all of us, and it certainly can happen to all of us, especially if we're not, number one, somebody keeping us on the straight and narrow. Number two, not having an understanding of what happens. That drug use of any type is demonic. It's an open portal into the from the dark side to get into your life. And once that thing gets a toehold inside your life and not realizing that, listen, I know Joe Hagman loved Jesus. I know he loved Jesus. I had several conversations with Joe. I remember the last conversation I had with him when we were up in Wisconsin, and I had a phone call with him. Even after that, I know he loved Jesus. This whole idea that a person who is born again cannot be influenced by demons is just daggone foolishness. It's foolishness, my friends. And I don't know what it was. Doug made a statement. I'll play a little bit of that here in a second for those of you who didn't see it. Doug made a statement last night I thought was profound. As always, a lot of stuff he said. Joe was in a situation with, he was married, and his wife was pregnant with his six-week-old daughter. Six weeks. Let me get this again. His wife is about to have a baby. 6 weeks, she's going to have a child. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Doesn't matter. And yet at the same time, Joe was not living at home, I don't believe. He just had a girlfriend. And I heard his dad say last night, I love straight shooters. I heard his dad say, let's get this straight. Joe has a widow and he has an unborn baby. You don't have a girlfriend. I thought, man, that takes some courage, some gumption to say that. And how does a guy, see, we bet all of us within this queue and all of us that are going to go to Chappaqua and all this, we all better be aware, keep our guard up to understand that the evil one, is boy, oh boy, he wants nothing more than to get inside of you and penetrate into your life and screw up everything. Oh, my goodness. I had a sharp word with my wife last night over something really, Michelle and I never argued. It wasn't an argument. But the first thing I did when she got up this morning is she came out, I gave her a big hug and told her I loved her and apologized to her. Folks, you can't let the enemy get a foothold in. And unfortunately, we're so full of pride that we don't want to be the first ones to. I should have gotten my car and I should have driven up and I should have said, Joe, what the hell's wrong with you? I should have done that. It's pride. It's pride on Mayans, pride on Islam. And I'm going to say something that to some of you is going to think is really, really controversial. I'm not a once saved, always saved guy. Okay, I'm not. But I had a friend who took his life about 4 or 5 years ago who loved Jesus more than as much as any man I ever knew. And he would dig into the Word and study the Word. And boy, I learned a lot from him. And put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger one night. And I was trying to think, Lord, is he in hell because he did that? And my buddy who took his own life, he was always, sounds crazy, okay? I used to joke with my wife, said, boy, that guy's battling some demons. Born again, spirit-filled, loved Jesus. And he was battling demons, man. I'm just telling you. Sometimes it would manifest, and it was amazing. He loved Jesus. He was not possessed of the devil, but he loved Jesus, but he was influenced by the dark side. I think he knew it. And I've often said to my wife, you know, if Bob, as much as Bob loved and served Jesus, if Bob's not in heaven, man, oh, man, I don't know. He said, well, you know, he killed himself. I said, yeah, I know. I get it. I get it. But sometimes I wonder if Bob had done so many crazy things, if at some point the Lord said, okay, Bob, that's it. You're coming home, man. You're coming home. The way you're saying, Coach, I say sometimes I just think that demonic possession makes us crazy. Makes us crazy. You know, we're three-part man, right? We got a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And the soul has a mind and a will and an emotions. And the battleground's in the mind. And I guess I don't even know what I'm saying today, except that wasn't Joe Hagman that had that heroin overdose. That wasn't Joe Hagman. And I don't know if I have anything theologically to pass that to back up what I'm saying to you today. But I believe Joe is right with Jesus. And I believe forces drove him to some form of madness because we don't understand. Somebody want to come in and say something? I'm just
Coach.
Amen, Coach.
Yeah.
I knew of Joe for about 10 years. And I was just so amazed when I heard that he passed on. And how he passed on. A man that was, you could really see his heart. He really used to dig in a lot into the Bible, and he knew it.
Yes.
I thought I considered it very well. The only thing that I will say is this. When I've been praying for him, I've been praying that the mercy and the grace really just take hold of him because, you know, I mean, just like your friend Bob. See, the thing that comes out real clear here is that you're not saved by your works. So, and then his faith, this is a combination that needs to carry him to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because his works, the last works were not very good. The other ones, well, okay. But you have to take the whole picture. And mm-hmm. That's what I believe that Bob and Joe, I think that they will be saved because the mercy and the grace, that's what it's there for. It protects you from what you deserve.
Joe had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I believe outside forces overwhelm him. That's my take.
Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you'll allow me, let me put this in a theological context.
All right.
Jesus said that only one sin, only one thing that people could do could not be forgiven, and he labeled that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that if, and then it describes a person who has had five things happen in their life, you know, enlightened, walk in the power, understanding, and all that, and all five of those things describe a spirit-filled, spirit-fed life. It says, if they fall away, and that fall away is a terrible translation from the Greek. If they totally reject God, turn against him, and actively work against God, if they fall away, there is no longer any repentance. So that has to be the definition of the one thing that Jesus said could not be forgiven. And only a born-again, spirit-led Christian can do that. Now, Joe and Bob, if they struggled with sin in their lives and they were born-again Christians and they struggled with that sin, see, God has forgiveness of sin for his children. He has conditions on it. They have to forgive others who've sinned against them. But when they forgive others that sin against them, their sins are forgiven. And that's the picture of it in theology. This business of the Catholics say if you commit suicide, it's the unforgivable sin. That is not biblical.
Larry, that's the point that I'm trying to make, right? My buddy Bob was overwhelmed with demons, and I don't want to get into the deep stuff about it. But do you suppose that Joe Hagman, after he'd come down off one of those highs, do you suppose in the morning he would cry out and say, oh, "Lord, I don't do this. I don't want to do this, Lord." I don't know. Jared, I just want to, for those of you who didn't see, I just want to show about 5 minutes of the clip of Doug Hagman last night. I don't know. This is one of the bravest things that I think I've ever witnessed. When Doug just talking about that. So Jared, if you just play that quick segment, just feel this guy's
folks,
pain. What a brave, brave man. Is it there, Jared? Go ahead, man.
The second time in the past 90 days I come before you, opening the Hagman Report using virtually the same words as I did on April 12th, 2019. Except today, I won't be using any modifiers. I won't be using any modifying phrases, as this is, and I suspect will always be, the most difficult and personally painful announcement I've ever had to make since the beginning of the Hagman Report. Again, my message is made, like the previous, in the spirit of transparency, as my viewers and my listeners deserve nothing less. I am sad to inform you that my son, an oldest child, and once my co-host of the Hagman Report, died Saturday at the age of 36 from what appears to be a heroin overdose. Words can't express the pain this has brought me, my family, Joe's wife, who is due to give birth to his child within the next few weeks. Again, my son, Joe Hagman, died Saturday, June 29th, 2019, from at the age of 36, by what appears to be a heroin overdose. Now, many of you who met Joe know that he had a good heart. He brought much joy to many people in his adulthood. And in particular, while he was an integral part of the Hagman Report, I hope everyone will remember him for that. For the joy that he brought and for his genuine warmth and caring spirit, I certainly have seen good works in action and choose to remember those over everything else. I will remember the joy he brought when he was born, the child with a colic in his hair and a mischievous smile. Typical adolescent, and finally, and then as a grown man, the fact that he was taken from us too young and in the manner alleged is shocking and painful beyond words. To say that we are grief-stricken would be an understatement. Now, in addition to the sad announcement, I'm here before you today to deliver three very important messages. Two messages are for everyone watching and listening to this announcement. The third message is intended for a much smaller group of people. You will know to which category you belong. I ask that you carefully listen to these messages and fully understand the stated and even unstated implications of each. But first, I want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for your trust, your belief, and your support in the Hagman Report. To remind longtime listeners and viewers, look, this show, the Hagman Report, is indeed a family operation consisting of my wife, Renee, my daughter, Jackie, her husband, Eric, the tech, who's back there. What began with just me and a microphone after 9/11 evolved from a private investigative agency and intelligence agency, developed into what this show is today. And Joe played a very important and often understated role at the Hagman Report. He did. Joe had the ability to use his past mistakes as a unique tool to connect with others and to offer a different perspective that often opened doors that would have otherwise remained closed. Because of his past mistakes, which he never tried to hide or keep hidden, he made connections and related to others in ways I couldn't. That frustrated him, or that frustrated his and our detractors, much to his delight, not so much to mine, but much to his. Although his passing leaves a gaping hole in our hearts, it's also strengthened our resolve to continue to be the best source of genuine information available about current events, domestic and foreign, worldwide, to expose not just the criminality of events, but in this case, and especially in this case, the demonic forces behind them. And Joe knew the demonic forces all too well, as evidenced by one of the last father-son conversations I had with him. Look, I haven't shared these details with anybody, this conversation with anybody. I'll share it right now with you. I mean, it was maybe one of the most meaningful conversations that him and I ever had. Me as a father, him and his adult son. It was clear to me that Joe understood that we are all soldiers in an ongoing battle against the forces of darkness, the forces of evil. And from our conversation, it was clear to me that he knew what other people don't, that others refuse to acknowledge. Others refuse to say exist. Behind the criminality of this world, there are dark forces of real evil personified. Joe professed his Christian faith and yet struggled against these forces. I did everything in my power to help him. Help him overcome an evil so pervasive and so insidious. Defies description. He experienced firsthand the multiplicity of attacks. Firsthand. I'm heartbroken. But this brings me to a message. Actually, the messages I want to convey.
Okay, Jared, you can pull that off now. Folks, we'll make that available in the show notes or in the queue, whatever. It's hard to watch. And Doug did a great job. But just understand this, man. Just understand that this is a battle. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. It's a battle. It's a battle. That's why Michelle and I covet your prayers for our family. Frontline people, man, this battle's real. It's real anyway. This battle's real. God asks you that. We respect.
Well, Dave, I just want to remind people, as we know here. Look, the dark side, they play for keeps, man. They play for keeps. It's real. They will come in, and they will dominate you, and they will get you to do stuff if you're not ready. We have to be our mindset. We've got to be there. We've got to realize that these spirits will engage us, and they will consume us if we're not in the if we're operating in the flesh. They'll get us. Amen. So we have to be, you know, we got to have that armor on 24 hours.
The carnal mind is in enmity with God. The carnal mind, boy, that's where they try to get us, right? That's where it is, Chad. You're so right. So let's be praying for the Hagman family. People have been asking, you know anything about the arrangements? The last I spoke to Doug, he didn't know anything. So, you know, he's going to be gone for the show the next three nights. And let's soldier down, man. Let's soldier down. I love Joe.
Hey, Dave.
What a sweet spirited guy he was. Yeah.
Could we just pray for a moment and just have some time? If anybody wants to just lift Mr. Hagman up, would that be okay?
Yeah, sure.
I'll start, and maybe if anybody else wants to lift him up in prayer, and maybe you can wrap her up in a couple minutes. Lord Jesus, I just come quietly, Lord, and with a heavy heart, and knew the Hagmans only through their program and some brief meetings. But as a father myself, Father, I pray now and ask, Father, that you would be the great comforter that you are to the Hagman family. I pray, God, that you would give a comfort that only you are able to provide in this great loss. And I just ask, Father, that you would help us draw near to you as we watch others draw near to Mr. Hagman and his family, Lord, that we realize you are the hope. You are the only hope that we have. You are truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, let us continue to be aware and our eyes open as we walk through the day, because there are many people out there that are hurting and they need Jesus Christ. They need the cross. And I lift up the Hagman family, Father. Comfort them at this time.
Heavenly Father, for Doug Hagman and his wife and his daughter, Jackie and Eric, the ones that are left behind, the ones that we can see, because we cannot see Joe, and we cannot feel what's going on with Joe, but we can interact with the ones that are left behind. We ask that the mercy and the grace and that the blood of the Lamb come and comfort them.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And that it makes it apparent to all of us that the threat and whatever overwhelm Joe, that we armor up and that we go to the Spirit daily and consistently, and that we stay in prayer unceasingly, and that what we do will help to make the remnant stronger and fiercer in this real fight that we're in. Do not disregard it, because the moment that you disregard it, you will be overwhelmed. Keep that very close to your heart and know that it's true. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And thank you to the Spirit of God that always avails himself to us. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we glorify you in the highest. In the blessed name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
And I was just reminded of something as you're praying there. All of you. Lay down your swords against those you love. Lay them down. Our son, Zach, came by last night. And he was sharing with me some things that are, you know, some things that are going on in his life, good things, things he's excited about. And I found myself getting up out of my, over at the table where I was sitting, and I walked over and I sat down beside him. I just listened. We rush through our lives so much, right? So much. And then all of a sudden you wake up and Joe Hagman's gone. You say, Dad, don't. I wish I'd have told him how much he mattered to me. I wish I had helped him out. Well, it's over. We can't. I look in the chat. Jody lost two sons. You can imagine that. And I guess the message that I have is, Make things right with the people you love. Make things right. Think of poor Doug Hagman. Think what he's going to think now. Well, Doug, if you hadn't been so hard-assed, well, Doug, if you'd given Joe a little bit more slack, well, Doug, if you hadn't thrown Joe off of the show, on and on and on, he has to live with that. And we all know that Doug was doing what was right, what he believed was right for his son and for his own integrity. And whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, right? So I just encourage all of you today, don't let those things that you want to say be unsaid. Because you just don't know. Okay, can I shift gears here? God bless Doug and Joe. God bless family, all of them. We're going to Chappaqua. Help me out here now. If you're gone, please let me know. Especially if you're coming to my house. That's really important. Please let me know. I've rented some cars. We have room for people. I had a couple of them contact me yesterday. Do you have room for me? Yes, sure do. Sure do. So we're going. Now, I want to lay this out because this is all going to be posted now. On Jared's getting it up on the website. But here's the scoop. Here's the skinny of what you need to know. Okay? On the 6th of July at 10 a.m., we're going to be meeting. I'm looking at at the Walmart in Mohegan Lake, New York. We're all going to meet there. Just like we did last time. We're going to, paint the cars. Well, I'm going to paint my car and drive it out before I get out there. Paint the cars, make signs, stand on the street, do some street witnessing. We're going to do that from about 10 until noon. And again, this is all is on all. If it's not now, we'll soon all be on the website under the updates. Be at Walmart till about noon, and then we're going to go to Chappaqua, New York. Excuse me, to Hillary's town, and we're going to we got some events planned there. I don't want to say much more than that. So we're going to start out Saturday morning at the Walmart in Mohegan Lake. Go to Chappaqua, do our thing in Chappaqua. And if you, sorry, Vic, I need some of your silver. If you want to go home after we're done about, 5 or 6 o'clock, you can. If you want to stay another night, you can. Sunday morning, we're going to have some activities planned as well. And I would cry out to as many of you out there who are close, 3 hours, 4 hours, please drive, come and make a difference. Although it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. This is not about numbers. Numbers would be great, but it's not about numbers. It's a little drip, 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 drip right now. And it's going to become bigger than that because we believe the hand of the Lord is upon it. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? Why we're gone, what we're going to do and all that? Folks, a crime was committed at 15 Old House Lane, a crime. A, dare I say it, a high crime was done. Excuse me. And we believe that justice needs to be served. People think we're crazy. I don't care what people think. People think that we're wasting our time. I don't care what people think. I know this, that the Bible tells us, whatever the Lord says unto you, do it. Whatever it's in, it's John 2, I think it is. Whatever he says unto you, do it. John 3, John 2. When he turned the water into wine, Mary said, whatever he says unto you, do. There it is. Let me start there, Jared. Jesus, verse 1, Jared. There you go. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called, and his disciples. So Jesus and all of his disciples were invited to this wedding. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, have no wine. So they don't have any wine, and Mary goes to Jesus and says, hey, they're out of wine. Now Jesus didn't say, all those alcoholics, what are they doing drinking? They shouldn't be drinking. He didn't say that. And he said, woman, why'd you come to me? What does this have to do with me? Not my hour yet. It's not my hour hadn't come yet. But look what his mother did. Mother had a feeling something was going to go on that maybe nobody knew what it was. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Did you underline that? Folks, there's the gospel. Right there's your gospel. Verse 5, Jared. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do. That's been the key to my walk, call upon my life. That's been my key. When I hear him say it, I do it. It doesn't always make sense to the world. But at the end of the day, when I sit down in my living room after I get back home, I say, Lord, I did it, buddy. I don't know what it was about, but I did it. And he told me to go to Chappaqua, and we're doing it. So we'd love as many of you as can to make it. If you can't make it, that's okay too. Anybody want to jump in there? Matt, anything I've forgotten there, bud? We're not letting all the cat out of the bag here, okay? We got some more stuff going on. We're not letting it all out of the bag. Matt, you want to share anything, or Mark, or anybody?
No, I mean, obviously, Coach, you know, well, what are you going to do that for, right? Well, Coach just explained it beautifully. We're going up there because justice needs to be done. We don't have any justice in the country anymore, everybody. And the only way that we're going to get it back is if we go out and we demand our public officials do it. And it does make a difference as to what we're going to do.
Hey, Matt, it doesn't even matter. He told me to do it, and I'm doing it. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if anybody else comes. Yeah. He told me to do it, and I'm doing it. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Right? Folks, listen, you better realize this in your life, that your obedience is what unlocks the key. And you have the power and you have the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you that will cause a chain reaction beyond what you even dreamed was going to happen. Now, is there going to be a chain reaction because I'm going to go to Hillary's? I don't know. But I know the Lord told us to do it. We're going to go to do it. And I'm going to tell you this. There are going to be lives that are going to be impacted by the fact that we went. And we will not even know what those lives are or what those lives were. That's what your Christian faith walk has to be about. Whatever he says unto you, do. Whatever he says unto you, do. No matter how stupid it sounds, do it.
Hey, Coach, you said something. You said earlier you were asking about how the program or the guys in the queue or whatever impacted your lives personally. Well, you know, you got me active, Coach, right? Amen. Because I listened to your show for over 2 years, and I would sit there and I would be convicted because I would be fit. I had a walk in faith, but there was more that I could do when I knew it. And through your words and through your actions, Coach, I would be convicted by the Holy Spirit to want to do more. And, well, you know, I stepped up, I guess. And here I am.
Amen. How about this? How would you like to be Randy Lunsford and know the rest of your life that because you went there and you laid your hand on that threshold, something changed? And the only way Randy Lunsford could do that was he went. He was obedient to go do it. Cost him a lot of money, probably. Cost him a lot of time. His wife probably said, why are you doing that? Are you crazy? What are you doing? Are you following that crazy, Coach? I don't care. It doesn't matter. Randy had a moment in his life that he will never be able to recapture simply because he went.
You know, Jesus revealed that he didn't do anything the Father didn't tell him to do.
Right.
And one time Jesus told him to pick up some dirt and spit on it, make some mud and put it on a guy's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, man, that doesn't sound very healthy. It doesn't sound very logical. But guess what? A blind man received his sight because Jesus was obedient.
Amen, brother. That's what I'm saying, man. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's can the Lord trust me to do what he asked me to do? That's all it's about. But duty is ours, John Adams said. The results belong to God. We have a duty to do what the Lord has called us to do. And you know what? If the Lord tells me to do it, I don't care how many of you out there tell me not to. I don't care, right? I don't care how many naysayers tell us we're wrong, we shouldn't be doing it. Whatever he says unto me, I am doing it. Jared, go to Psalm 2 again. I got to tie some. Oh, man, it's a quarter up already. I feel like I've been doing all the yakking here this morning. It's okay. It's my show. Boy, oh, boy. Why do the heathen rage? Hey, folks, the heathen are raging. The heathen are raging like we've never seen. Are you aware of that? Do you really? I know you don't. I know you don't. Do you really understand the hour in which we live? Do you really understand the consequences of us either acting or not acting now? Have you been watching at all to see what's going on? Have you been watching what's been going on in Portland, Oregon? Have you been watching how violent the God-hating left, the heathen, are becoming? Have you been watching it? Do you understand that America sits on a powder keg? Do you understand that? And as much as we may like to, we can't retreat and hide from it, folks. We can't retreat and hide. Now, I know that in the end, the Lord wins. I understand all that. But right now, the way we act and the way we respond is going to have eternal consequences in the lives of other people right now. We have another presidential election coming up in a year and a half. I don't care what you think about Trump. I don't care if you cannot see that the heathen are raging over something. Some of you think Trump's part of the cabal, whatever. The heathen are raging over something. Because you know what they know? They know it's a life and death struggle. What Chad had said earlier, maybe put it in the queue. But the devil don't quit, man. Hey, you can count 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 on the devil, and he ain't never out. And his team ain't never out. They are in a bitter struggle and fight to the end. And we don't take them seriously. The next thing we know, we wake up and a loved one's dead. We don't understand the spiritual battle that's taking place. We don't get it. We don't get it. The heathen are raging. Hey, Jared, pull up Portland riots. Pull that up.
Dave, I would also add that, you know, most of us, our guardian angels are very bored because we're not going out and doing anything for them to have to stand up and protect us.
We're not making an impact.
We want to make an impact.
Hope they keep
raging. I'll tell you why they're raging. Because we're not doing anything.
So, they're getting away with it.
That's right. And so when they're held accountable, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. When we rise up as Christians and resist and stand our ground and persevere, we win every time.
Every time, brother.
But we don't sit when we sit on our butts and we worry about Seinfeld or that somebody from work might see us on TV, then they win.
They win, brother. Well said, Chad. Randy, come on in.
Hey, Coach. That's the question. That's always the big question. I think the answer is this. They are fearful of losing their kingdom.
Yes, sir. They know something we don't know, don't they, Randy?
Yes, sir. They're defending their only kingdom.
Yep, that's right. They know something we don't know.
It doesn't belong to them. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof is also, it's his Lord.
I think it's more than they're defending their kingdom because they understand that their kingdom results in eternal punishment. They know this. What they're operating under is a hatred of those who are not on track to also be that miserable the rest of eternity. They hate the fact that we don't share their future, and they are out to snare as many as they can out of the kingdom of life and force it into the kingdom of darkness.
Amen. Amen.
So George Soros needs to be arrested.
What's that?
George Soros needs to be arrested and put behind bars.
Well, we know this, don't we? We know that the deep state's not going to do it, right? These states aren't going to arrest him. So who's going to arrest him? Who's going to arrest him?
We are.
Who do we expect the dark side to arrest the dark side?
No.
Hey, Coach.
Well, yes.
Hey, read Matthew 8:29, Coach.
Matthew 8:29. Get that up there for me, Jared.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Vic.
The reason that the heathen are raging is because they know the time is short. They keep looking at their watches and they see that the sand in the little sand clock, it's running out. Mm-hmm. Time is up. Time is up.
Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with the devils. Now, folks, were people only possessed of the devil back during Jesus' time? Coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Heathen are raging. What's it say? Exceedingly fierce. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So they know there's a time, don't they? They know there's a time. They know there's a time. We don't know there's a time. Boy, oh boy. Jared, go back to that CNN thing. I want you to see this. I'm just trying to prepare you folks. Hey, look at me. There's a devil loose. There's a devil loose, boys and girls. And he ain't playing. He ain't patty caking it. Jared, scroll on down. This is a conservative guy showed up out on the streets in Portland. They beat him. And, of course, CNN laughs about it, yada, yada, yada. But I want you to watch some of this. I just want you to be aware. Hey, Jared, can you play both of these Twitter videos? They're both really, really short, I believe. Play this one. Folks, this is in Portland, Oregon. Remember, we were just in Oregon, Tim. Hey, Tim! I see you're in here this morning. Tim, this is happening up in Oregon. Happening in Oregon. These are left-wing demonstrators. It's only 10 seconds, but look at it.
No Proud Boys, no KKK, no Fascist USA. No Proud Boys, no KKK, no Fascist USA. No
there's the proof. There's the state of our public schools and our universities. Go down to the next one, Jared. Look at the next one. This is in Portland. The heathen are raging.
Fucking hound, bitch.
I don't know if there's another one or not. Folks, this has gone on and on and on and on. And then listen to this guy make fun of it. Oh, well, not only. I don't want to give that guy the time of day. Big homo, as far as I'm concerned, he's a big homo.
Hey, Coach.
That'd be a homo to be on TV in the news seats. Yes, sir.
So now they're making muriatic acid combined with some plastic. So when these little balloons or bombs when they throw them at you, so that it coats your skin, you can't wash it off, and it starts to impregnate and enter into the blood system. So the ante has gone up,
they don't want a fair fight, that's for sure, do they?
No. But I'll tell you what, when the righteous stand and they stand up, it doesn't matter what they bring to the fight.
Hey, because I'm sorry. Hey, Vic, why would the righteous not stand up? Can somebody explain to me why the righteous wouldn't stand up right now? Anybody explain that to me? Hey, listen. I'm trying to wrap this up real quick. Vic, I didn't mean to walk on you, man. Love you, man. Hey, Vic. Hey, boys and girls. You ready for this one? Jared, pull up Hillary's law license. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you know that Hillary Clinton has now had her law license reinstated by the Arkansas bar. I wonder if she's thinking about the Supreme Court. Or Attorney General. Clinton's license was suspended in March 2002 for failure to complete continuing education requirements. 2002, she hadn't had a law license for 17 years. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, why, she gets her license reinstated. March 4th, 2019, according to Arkansas officials. It had been suspended since March 14, 2002. Clinton's law license was first granted in 73. Larry Nichols, a Clinton insider and whistleblower, agreed Hillary could be looking for a spot as Attorney General if the Democrats win the White House. Hey, boys and girls, you want to talk about the wrath of hell coming upon you? If this woman is able to come back into power? Heathen are raging, boys! Heathen are raging. How much time I got? I don't have time to do that. I'm just trying to get too much stuff in there. Jared, one more thing. Anybody, I'll just shut up. You help me wrap it up here. I got 10 more things that y'all saving for tomorrow.
Hey, Coach, at Antifa, they act just like the Muslims over there, the jihadis. There's no difference between them. Same devil.
Yep, you're right. Same devil. Same devil. Same spirit. Same spirit. Same spirit. Why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing. Jared, go to Psalm 2 again. Maybe we just need to end, up on that. Psalm 2. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We win in the end. Yeah, we do. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You understand there's a difference between the heathen raging and the people? Getting that connection right? The heathen rage and the people are imagining an empty thing. Because the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. So that's very clear that the devil has a team and they are counseling, they are conspiring together. Isn't it amazing? They always call us conspiracy theorists and they're the one conspiring. And they take counsel together against the Lord and against those on the Lord's team. What are the heathen saying? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They don't want any restraint of God. The heathen want no restraint of God on them. But he that sitteth in the heavens, he laughs. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He's going to have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Yes, Lord, bring your wrath upon them, Lord. And vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet me, I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Me, I'm going to declare, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, far as me, he says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Wow. What does that even mean? And the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He's talking about the heathen here, folks. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. I thought we're not supposed to judge. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry. What? I thought Jesus loved everybody. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled just a tad. Just a tad. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. That's why I'm going to Chappaqua. Because he told me to, and I trust him. And I believe that he will be honored by our obedience. Man, oh man, the heathen are raging. What a time to be alive. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Pray for the Hagmans.